Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
So yesterday we finished learning about the laws of Mila, of the covenant of Avraham Avinu, first mitzvah that the babies entered into, and we began to talk about prayer. Yesterday I explained to you how and why the Rambam includes in his book of Mishneh Torah something called Seder Tfilot Kol Hashana, the order, the arrangement of the prayers, so that we will know how and what one is supposed to daven. And yesterday we began to explain how this really is part of the Rambam's calling. The Rambam's desire was to make sure that we would know what to do. That's the meaning of Sefer Halachas Halachas. So today, as we embark now on the studying of the 36th Shir of Rambam, which is identical for those who study Mishneh Torah, as well as those who study Sefer HaMitzvahs, you're simply reading the text, the liturgy of the prayer. So instead of simply doing a reading for you, which you can easily do on your own, I want to give you a little bit of background as to why the Rambam had to include Seder Tfilas Kol Hashana in Mishneh Torah, and for that matter, why we need a Siddur altogether. Yes, they have established the notion that prayer is a biblical mitzvah. It's a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah, according to the Rambam, and that the sages ordained we should pray three times a day. But when and how did it come about that we have a formal text that we're supposed to read? So, as we have discussed previously, during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, prayer was much more organic, it was much more sincere, it was a natural expression, an outpouring of the soul. They would recite the Shema, they would have a basic formula of prayer, the prayer followed a certain syntax, it had the notion of talking about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Divrei Shevach, and then we would be Bakashas Srachav, people would ask for their needs. Then it would be Haidah, they would thank Hashem, they would acknowledge, and that's how they would conclude their prayer. Exactly how long the prayers lasted, we don't know. According to some accounts, people prayed for quite a long time during the first Beis HaMikdash, but it was a very personal experience, it was a very spiritual experience. And they were wonderful at expressing themselves. Hebrew language came naturally to them, spirituality came naturally to them, and that's how prayer was for centuries. Almost 9 centuries. And then the Jewish people went into Galut. And they were ill-equipped to deal with being displaced. They didn't know what it means to live in somebody else's country. They hadn't done it for almost 900 years. They didn't know what it means to live without a Beit HaMikdash. That's Judaism. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we bring korbanot, we bring offerings. And for the last 410 years, they've been centered around Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. So this is a very, very long time, and these things became ingrained. And in the book of Nehemiah, it says when the Jewish people returned from the Galut of Nebuchadnezzar, there were significant problems with the new generation of Jews who lacked literacy. In the language of the scripture, it says, "Ubneim chatzi medaber ashdudis." Half of them were speaking ashdudit, one kind of language. "Ve'inam akidim ledaber yehudis." They cannot speak Hebrew. They don't know how to speak the Jewish tongue anymore. Their language is kulshein am va'am. Every Jew, depending on which particular part of that empire he had landed, learned from the customs and the people around him, and his language was a jargon of different kinds of words. It may have been a Jewish jargon, which, by the way, the name for Yiddish in Yiddish is jargon, which is a jargon, a compilation of different words. So they didn't have the language anymore. Not only did they not have the language, they also didn't have the natural spiritual ability to express themselves. So how are we going to pray? How are we going to do this now that we're finally coming together and now that we're going to be following Hashem's Torah properly in Eretz Yisrael? So at that point, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who was headed, of course, by Ezra the scribe, you could call him, if you want, the Moses of the Second Coming. He's the person who hammers the people together. He's the person who galvanizes Am Yisrael. He brings them back to the Holy Land, and he sees that there is a critical need to give people a formula in which to express themselves. People need to have a framework which is called tefillah, called davening. So he ordains what we call the Shmona Esrei, the 18 prayers, 18 blessings, which is what it was for a very long time, until the days of Rabban Gamliel, which is after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So for the better part of almost half a millennia, the Jewish people are davening 18 blessings. There's Shema that's recited every day, there's Birchot Shema, there's blessings of the Shema. At some point, they start adding the final verses, the final 5 chapters of the book of Tillim, as Pesukei de Zimra, and the prayer is crystallized and develops, becomes ubiquitous for all of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And from Eretz Yisrael, it goes to the various other parts of the world where Jewish people lived, which include, of course, an enormous amount of Jews who remained in Babel, in the Babylonian Empire. There were Jews who were living in Europe, all the way up in Bavaria. There were Jews who were living during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Of course, in North Africa, the Jews in an island called Jebra were there for the first Beis HaMikdash. And the notion of prayer spreads orally. It spreads orally, just like the oral Torah spreads. The details that had been hammered out during the time, the takanot, the injunctions of Anshe Knesset HaGdola, so the prayer also becomes nafutz, becomes widespread throughout the Jewish world. Now, these prayers that were established by Anshe Knesset HaGdola, they were not poets. They were not people like you or I. They lived in a whole different world of spiritual consciousness. As we're told, the prayers were arranged with Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit. It's like prophecy. And Chas V'Shalom, for any of us, to change even a single nuance of the prayer. The prayer is in Hebrew, in the holy tongue of the Torah. It corresponds to all kinds of spiritual realities. Every nuance, every detail is laden with meaning. And so it was for hundreds of years. And there was no Siddur. They didn't have a prayer book. There was no book. Now, there was also no book of Mishnah. There was no book of oral Torah until the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, which is a century after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Even more so. More than a century until they begin to compile the Mishnah. The earliest Siddur that we know of only appears in the 5th century. We're talking about after Siyum HaShas, after the Talmud has been closed. So the Mishnah has been formalized, the Gemara has been formalized, and only at this point we start to have prayer books appearing. So prayer as we have it, the Siddur as we have it, really develops during Yimei HaGaonim, maybe Rabbanan Savroi, after the time of the Mishnah and the days of the Gaonim. The reason that they wrote the prayers down, I mean, the Gemara says in the Masechet Shabbos and Daf Kuf Tesvav, and it's also mentioned in the 40th page of Masechet Megillah, that the sages didn't want prayer written down. Yeah, there was an order. People would learn the prayers by heart. That's what you went to school for. You went to Cheder. During the first 5 years of your schooling, you learned the prayers by heart. You learned the 5 books of Moses. You were an expert in the five, in the Chamisha Chum Shetera. If you were lucky enough, you stayed to learn a little Mishnah. And then you had these things verbatim. That's who you were as a Jew. And when there were Jews who didn't know how to daven, they would come to Shul, they would listen to the repetition of the Shmon Esrei, and they would answer Amen. And that's how they would fulfill their obligation of prayer. The only time when most Jews didn't know which prayers to say was on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that's the reason that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it says everybody can fulfill their mitzvah through the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. All right, so now we're in the time of the Gaonim. And all of a sudden we start to have this Siddur. The notion of a Siddur appears. First Siddur is in the days of the Gaonim, and it is attributed to Rav Natrunoi Gaon. One of the names of that Siddur is the Mea Brachot, and it is the oldest Siddur which we have, we believe, although some maintain that the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon is even earlier. It's known also as Yesod HaAmrami. There is a Siddur of Rav Sadia Gaon, but they didn't have this in ancient times. The Siddur of Sadia Gaon was only discovered approximately a century and a half ago. Now, here's where the earliest prayers, as we have them today, start to appear. You need to understand that there was the Minag Bavel, Minag of Sfarad, which was transferred from Babylon to Spain by Rav Naturnoi Goen and his genre. And then there was the Minag Eretz Yisrael. Minag Eretz Yisrael was the liturgy during the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. And those Jews were taken to Italy. Not to Bavel. They didn't go east. They went west. Rome. And from Italy, they went north. They went into Alsace-Lorraine, and they went into Ashkenaz, what we call Germany, what the world referred to as the Holy Roman Empire eventually. So that's where the different Nuschaot began to develop. And as time went on, eventually the Nuschaot became more crystallized, and we essentially would have three general Nuschaot. There's Nusach Sfarad, which is the Nusach of Bavel. There's Nusach Ashkenaz, which is the Nusach of Eretz Yisrael of the second Beis HaMikdash. And interestingly enough, the Nusach of Italy itself is a bit of a somewhere in between. Because the Italian Jews, there were Jews living in Italy and in Rome during the time of the Gemara already. And the Italian Nusach HaItalki, developed a little bit and remained on its own. Did not become a part of everything else. So the Rambam appears on the scene. And in the Rambam's world, first of all, there's nothing printed, obviously. There are only these manuscripts. So we have this Rav Naturnoi Goin's Siddur. We have Rav Amram Goin's Siddur, which is different copies are in circulation. The Rambam dealt with the Sephardic world. The Rambam is Amin Moshe Abayimah. Sephardi is with the Sephardic world. And there's conflicting versions of the Siddur. What you say first, what you say second, how you say. The Rambam doesn't write an actual full Siddur. Very often he'll start to write, you say this is this, and he'll say v'chulu, etc. Because people knew what the prayer was. They didn't know where to put the prayer. They didn't know what the order is. That's what's called Seder Tfilas Kol Shana. And he establishes the prayers for the whole year. First we go through the daily prayers. We go through the Kaddishim, the different kinds of Kaddish. We go into the holidays. We go into the Yom Tovim, the Yom Noraim. Until the Rambam lays out for you, here is the proper way, the proper halachic etiquette for davening. And that is the reason that Seder of Tfilas Kol Hashana appears in the book of Mishneh Torah. And as I mentioned, that when the Rebbe divided the study of Mishneh Torah of the Rambam, he included the entirety of Mishneh Torah, which includes the Seder Tfilas Kol Hashana. Not all of the orders of as they're found in the Rambam is what we necessarily follow. Chabad movement follows the Nusach HaArizal, which is a variation of Nusach Sfarad, as was crystallized by the Arizal according to the secrets of Kabbalah. Most of it is very, very similar to the Seder Tfilas of the Rambam, although there are variations. I believe that the Sephardic Siddurim are almost verbatim to the order that the Rambam ordains here in the end of the book of Ahava, the book of love, that talks about the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, and one of those prime things is the concept of prayer of tefillah. So that's going to be what we learned today for the 36th Shir of Rambam. And tomorrow we'll continue to talk about prayer, and we'll focus on the Kaddish and some of the nuances and the details that the Rambam added and brought to the fore when he compiled his Seder Tfilas Kol Hashana. And that's all for today.